Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, Proverbs 27:17. That's one of the verses that we stand behind. Many men's ministries do. Because this is a challenge for men to be walking this path that is a narrow path, because we don't always want to be doing that sort of thing. We are willing to talk about certain things here that you won't necessarily hear in front of a pulpit or in front of all of us. So that's why I can't do this thing by myself. I need to have someone like Duke who's in the studio with me today. Good to have you, bro.
It is good to be here. Thank you.
We have a topic today that maybe some of you guys may sit there and go, wow, I don't know if that has anything to do with me, but then maybe it will. And it's out of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 talks about where we come to the Lord, say, Lord, Lord, you know, I'm doing all of this for you. And he says, I don't know you, you know, type of thing. That's my little take on it, my little, whatever that's called. I forgot what it's called. But anyway, here's the deal. We always like to kind of kick things off with a little encouragement before we get into that topic. And I'm just going to ask if you've got anything that you want to encourage
men
about.
Yes, I do.
Well, let's have it, brother. Fire away.
It's the reassurance of fear. Not being real. That is the encouragement this morning, that something that I was just experiencing this morning, I felt kind of a wave of fear of different worldly things. That is, I'm going to say the pressures of life, whether it's relationship or it's job or whatever it is, we feel that from time to time. And when I get that feeling, it's this fearful, I've identified it as fear. And you know that if you let Satan get a foothold on that, it'll start to go south. So as I'm feeling this, I'm encouraged. I remember what I'm to do.
Yes.
Okay, you pray to Jesus for that comfort, because that is a lie from the dark side. So I said to myself, okay, I do not like this feeling. I'm feeling some fear here, Lord. I know that it is from the dark side. Would you help comfort me and allow that not to occur? Show me a way to, you know, song on the radio, whatever it is. And I just, I said that prayer. And it wasn't but moments later, I didn't feel that heaviness anymore. I knew that his promises were true and that I could count on and have faith on his word. And so the encouragement for me this morning was that I know that's not the first time that I have felt like that, you know, like something bad's going to happen or you feel downtrodden. Right. You just go, you know what, I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to declare that Jesus is with me,
yes,
and that he is guiding me.
Yes.
And this is a lie I do not need to listen to today, and I just moved on.
Yes.
So, and I didn't used to be able to do that, brother.
Yep.
So, amen that I can.
You know, and yeah, praise God that means that there are changes in our lives, in our heart, that actually are seeking God even more, to that place to where we actually don't need someone else to be able to remind us.
I knew
all
what
of a sudden,
to do.
It's like in us, and oh, thank you, Lord, you know, and like you said, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, here we go. And but that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you don't need others, because we still need the fellowship. We have to remember that, if nothing else, in fellowship, whether it's somebody that can benefit me, that the Lord takes advantage of those type of gatherings, okay? When you meet with another guy and you want some assistance from him, let me tell you, you're helping him as much as you think he's helping you. Okay?
Yes, yes.
All right? And because it takes two to be able to get to that place of realizing how important it is that we do have fellowship, that we're not in this thing alone. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us to think. That's where he wants us to be able to be confused and then discouraged, which all of a sudden just gets us to flee, in a sense. So instead of us submitting, instead of that, how about if we submit to God, you know, stand our ground, and, you know, and he will flee from us, all right? So it's
it's recognizing those lies.
Yes,
I didn't used to recognize them. I'd wrestle with them for a while.
Yeah.
So you know what, brothers,
you don't wrestle as much, huh?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No, I kind of kick Satan's butt now. So, not that he doesn't keep trying.
It's not us kicking his butt.
Amen.
It's not us.
Well, I've got a power.
I've got to clarify that.
You're right. You're
right.
It's
not us, because if we think it's us, and we all of a sudden we sit there one day, oh Lord, I don't need you. I'm just going to have you stay in the car here. I'll be right back.
Well, no, and I couldn't under my own power. That's why I invoked the name of Jesus. Said, okay, I need more power than this.
Yes.
So yes, and that's what we do. Yeah. Amen.
Okay. Well, listen, this. Let's get right into this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. It's a short little portion in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is talking about. It's toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm just going to read it out of the ESV here. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'"
Okay? Yeah, wow.
Now, now we read that, and we sit there and go, wow, there's a contradiction here. Wait a minute. If you're a follower, all we got to do is believe, and I'm in, right? I'm in, right? I'm in, right?
That's like once saved, always saved.
Yes. Okay. But here's the deal. This is an awakening for many of us, okay, when we try to get into, I believe, looking at exactly what the Lord is trying to remind us, okay, that we sit there and go, oh, my goodness, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, I could be doing this sort of thing or not doing what it is that he really truly wants me to be doing. And that's where all of a sudden we can end up with a lot of assumptions. Okay.
Well, yeah, and they're natural. That is, like a lot of listeners, and maybe you, but me, when I first learned of God and I started to embrace what was being taught me, I did, without a doubt, feel like what was being transferred to me was this how to act. Now, right. Less than how to live your life. Because I think that comes with time. But it was, okay, so you're a Christian, you need to start doing Christian-type things. That is, volunteering in the church, helping on the meet and greet, whatever it is. I felt that I needed to begin to engage in those things that were supposed to do. It mm-hmm. wasn't about the mm-hmm. heart. It was more, my understanding was that I could not get to heaven, which I wanted to do. I mean, right. I didn't want to go to hell.
Right.
I didn't understand that there was a relationship you were to have with Jesus, not just on obedience to the Father.
Right, right, right. You know, this is interesting. One of the things I was taught early on in my walk with Christ is that when I read the Bible, to read a little bit before and some afterwards, so that you get. Get it in context,
yeah, right.
of what is taking place. And here, it's so important because Jesus is doing all the talking here in the Sermon on the Mount, okay? And I just want to go to what the verses say before we get to this place here. Yeah. And it's in verse 15, if you're following in your Bible, Matthew 7:15. "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit." Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Okay? So in here, and then he goes on to saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Except for the one who does the will of the Father. That's really what he's saying. So just because you say, Lord, Lord, that's no different, brother, that if I feel like all I need, I want to be able to be saved. I have fear of going to hell, and so I just want to just be saved from going to hell. If I just acknowledge Jesus, that's all it says I need to do is just believe in him. The key is that belief. When you really look at the meaning of that, there's a lot more than just saying, okay, yeah, I believe. I believe he can do that. But am I at that place in my heart that I really believe that he can change me? Do I want him to really change me? Do I really want to do the things that he says that I'm supposed to be doing as a follower, as a disciple? Okay? And those are the questions, those are the things that I believe these verses here that the Lord Jesus is reminding us of what to do and what not to do.
Man, we got to be reminded of that, because that's not what it seems like we're drawn to it in our walk.
Yeah.
That is, I can tell you that the most fulfilled believers that I know are ones that get this verse that I didn't for the longest time, Raul. And yes, it's a journey, and we seek that out through fellowship and senior pastors and stuff like that. I still just could not seem to shake the feeling that I could stand before him,
yeah,
having tried my best,
mm-hmm,
or what I thought was my best,
right,
and have,
right,
him go, sorry, Duke, ain't cutting this one. I guess you're one of the trees I'm going to cut down. And you, but whoa, wait a minute, Lord, didn't,
yeah,
I?
Yeah. Yeah. But so often, you know, I believe when Jesus is getting something to us, everybody receives something different from the Word of God. We're at different places of being able to receive. I receive more today than I had when I first came. Okay?
Fair enough.
I might have had an open heart of saying, Lord, I'm just done. Take me, all of me. Okay? And I was willing to do that. But then as I continued on down this path, there were certain things that maybe, yes, I had said, Lord, take it all. But I held on to some things, okay?
Yeah.
Didn't completely let go of certain things, you know, that I still wanted to, I still enjoyed the pleasure or the giftings of living a certain, that I thought were gifts, all right, that I wanted as a result of living a certain lifestyle or being a certain way, okay? As an example, my friendships and everything. Friendships were really difficult for me to change when people said, you know what, maybe your friends that you're hanging out with. I said, well, these are my friends. These are the people who hung out with me. They've been with me through thick and thin. Well, that's because we were both in the thick and thin, and we were all doing the same thing, whether it was sinning. I'll just leave it as that, okay? Whatever that was. And these are the ones who were with me. They were my compadres. But when it came down to it, when I was in trouble in a certain sense, the majority of them would not be around or unavailable, okay? So I started to question my friendship with them, only because somebody had said, well, look back at your friendship that you have with them. See, I wanted to hold on to certain things because they knew me a little bit, but not truly, because not everyone, I wouldn't let everyone know who I was.
Of course.
Because I had my, you know, I was not very good in relationships, brother. I was not good at all. Any relationship, not just ones with women, okay, even with men.
Yeah.
I didn't disclose everything. I didn't want to show weaknesses. I pretended. I lied. I did whatever was necessary so that I would be acknowledged and liked. Okay, and so as a result of that, it was difficult for me to let all of that go and trust in God that, hey, I am his son, his child, and I need to just give it all to him. I was afraid to do all of that. And as I became more aware, especially after accepting him as my, not only my Savior, but at that time it was just my Savior. I might have said Lord, but I didn't mean it like that.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
I didn't want him to be the manager of my life. I still felt I could manage it. You know, now that I know him, You know, it's kind of like having a little bit of Jesus and thinking that that's enough to be able to get me through and open some doors, right?
Yes, yes.
That's my heart. But nobody knew my heart except the Lord. And that's what this verse, I believe, is talking about here. That's what I believe that there are certain things that I wanted to accomplish or wanted to get, but it had nothing to do with going to the Lord and praying and listening to his response, you know, listening prayer. I didn't do that for the longest time in my walk with Christ, you know. And some guys still today have challenges with that sort of thing. I can't be that quiet or that still. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You just have to be willing to do that. So my point being is that the Lord knows my heart. So when I read this verse that, or when I listen to this verse, it says here that, verse 22, on that day many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name?
Mighty works.
Okay. Yes, you may have, but you may have had a motive behind those things. So that I didn't get glorified, the Lord didn't get glorified, but I got glorified.
But didn't he? I mean, so I helped the homeless for 20 years. I feed on the streets. I mean, I'm helping his children.
Yeah.
And I know about God and Jesus, and I pray, and I'm in the Word, and I want to be obedient to that. I mean, I want to live the way that God says I should live, and part of that means I should be doing his will, helping his children, all of that, right?
Yeah, but am I doing it because I'm just trying to check off the box, or am I actually doing this because this is what the Lord wants me to do?
Well, isn't part of the box a matter of obedience? Doesn't God say you need to do it this way, not that way? So there is an
obedience. But this whole matter is about the heart. Brother, we don't know a true heart of another man, another person, not even our best, even our children, even our wives, okay? We don't know. God does. God does. He knows what the motive is. He knows the reason that we say and do the things that we do. We can't hide anything from him. And we still think we can at times get caught up with thinking that, okay, I messed up on that. And, you know, truly what it comes down to is that I myself, I know my own reasons and motives for doing things. And if it's to try to secure something, or am I truly compassionate? Do I really care about this person, about their well-being, and what I can do for this one individual? You know, is there a real humility here? Is my life surrounded about wanting and desiring to do what the Lord wants me to do with all of this? Or is this just what I do at this time of the week? You know, and the rest of the week I live a different lifestyle, or one that's not conducive to the one that you see when I'm helping other people. Am I driving down the road? I did my little email I sent out this last week. It was talking about driving down the road and calling people, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. And you
and
know
asking
what?
Forgiveness.
And I'm sitting there and I'm hearing myself. My wife's not even in my car. She has put up with that sometimes, and, you know, to hear that sort of thing. But I end up saying, and I caught myself. I mean, I heard it, and I go, oh, my goodness. What am I doing? You know, I lead men to try to draw closer to the Lord, and here I'm talking to people in my head, okay, like as if, you know, they're idiots. And you know what the name, you know what an idiot is?
Oh,
if you look it up in the dictionary,
it's a horrible.
It's a horrible thing.
It is.
It really is, man. You might as well be cussing.
Yes.
You know, you call somebody an idiot, and then I'd add adjectives to those. I'd say a stupid idiot.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you have any passengers in the car, they hear that. Yeah, well, I know.
But
the
fact is that I caught myself and I said, man, I said, Lord, I need to look at these people the way that you look at them, to have understanding, compassion, and patience, you know, that, okay, yes, I'm not going to get there because this person did this or whatever. It's just the way of the world. So I'm either going to be like the world or I'm going to be opposite of what the world is, and that's being more like Christ. Because the way the world is, it's not Christ-like in the majority of places, right?
No, it certainly isn't, and it's a challenge. It's hard to discern this stuff, Raul. I can remember in my walk coming across this verse, and I remember what struck me was, oh, my gosh, am I doing the wrong things? Again, I was drawn back to the acts of obedience, the works of the people of the church.
Yeah.
there was seemed to be no way of shaking that I needed to do good to earn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you what, let's do this before we go any further. Let's take a break. We're going to come back and we'll continue talking about this and how we can deceive ourselves in thinking that we're going down a certain path. Let's talk about that sort of thing when we get back here. Self-deception. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Does the enemy have you pinned down, caught in the crosshairs? There's always a way out. Fire an email to help@bandofbrothersradio.com and we'll offer a strategy.
Football season. It's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double smoked sausages. Yum! Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's Meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hempler's.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
But I'm not defined by mistakes that I've made, because God says of me, I am not who I was, being remade. I am new, I'm chosen and holy, and I'm dearly loved. I am new, I am new.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Duke and Raul, and we're talking on, of course, on Matthew 7, and this opens a can of being able to, are we truly in salvation? Are we truly, have we truly asked the Lord to save us and do we truly want to follow him and everything? And you know what, brother, I believe that when a person makes that proclamation that they want to follow Jesus, they want salvation, they want eternal life with him, okay? And I believe that there is the only one who truly hears that, knows the heart, is the Lord. Because he reminds us, God says to us, he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you, okay? And so when we acknowledge that we want to accept Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, okay, even though, like I gave you the example that I didn't feel like I really wanted to be, you know, him to be my Lord. But I, at that moment in time, I did. All it was is I made a decision. And that's all it says that you have to do at that time, that you believe at that time. And I did. Now, we got to remember one thing is that we're in a world where there is, if we believe in good, that means that there is bad. If we believe that there is Jesus, that there is a demon. Okay? If there is light, there is darkness. Okay?
Yes.
And with that, when we come to acknowledge the Lord, okay, of saying, yes, I want to follow you, guess what happens? Yeah, we get, you know, everyone says, welcome home, and yes, and we believe what the scripture says, that the heavenly host and angels are, you know, they're cheering up there saying, yes, he's finally got it, you know? And that's what took place, because the heavenlies are saying yes, you know, because they know. Even the angels know that God had created each of us for a purpose, okay, for a reason. And when we finally acknowledge him, all right, you got it, man. You got the ticket to jump on the train, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you necessarily stay on that train the whole time. But there's going to be guys, people on that train or people nearby who are going to try to lure you. That train has to come and make a stop, pick up other people, right? As it stops, there might be temptation to say, hey, come on, come on, come on in here. You can get that train, you can jump back on that train later, You hear the analogy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So as a result of that, sometimes we jump off of that train and thinking that, okay, I've got the Lord with me and I'm here, but I'm actually off the train, but I'm on my own power, you know?
Yes.
And what ends up taking place? Well, the enemy is very good at being, he knows us, okay? He lures us, he tempts us, and we sit there and go, oh my gosh, I need my Bible, I need fellowship or whatever, or you know what? Let me just see what is going on here, because this is where the real deception, I believe, takes place, at least it did in my life, is that the enemy uses a little bit of truth from our lives, okay, of what actually took place, or maybe even what Scripture says, and mixes it in with his sin, okay, to where we kind of just justify it. Or maybe we don't even notice it. We don't even notice it. So, hey, I'm not intending to do any harm with, you know, do any sin. I was just trying to help this person out. And this person happened to be a female who happened to be a single female who happened to be whatever. And I'm just being a nice guy, you know. And I just happened to be in her place, of, you know, where she lives because I wanted to bring her some groceries because I know that she needed something. So I thought I'd bring her some flowers with those groceries just to kind of brighten her day and stuff. It's no harm, no foul. Really? Really? You guys know exactly where I'm going with this and what takes place. I was only trying to be more Christ-like. No. But those are the type of temptations
yes.
that take place that we think, okay, where I... In the verses that we're talking about, it says, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? Here's some of the mighty works. I tried to help out this person, but I had a motive. She was going to look at me very kindly and nicely, and, you know, and so on and so forth. And maybe things aren't going that great at home, but here's somebody I can do something nice to. Wow. So, see, we have to be able to be willing to take a look at ourselves. And so often, these are the challenges that we kind of fall into. Now, I will tell you this. Well, I believe, and I did a little study on this section here, when it talks about the mighty works, about the miracles that take place that they've done. They cast out demons and so on and so forth, right?
Yep.
It talks about in the Gospels where the disciples came to Jesus and said, these people are, this guy is
healing in your
healing
name,
in your name, and so on and so forth. What do you want us to do? You know, I could just hear the apostle. He wants to kick his butt. You want us to throw him out of here. What do you want us to do? And Jesus said, "Don't let him be.
Yeah.
If he's going to say something, do it in my name, so that I would end up. So be it." But at the very end, what ends up taking place? He may end up, if he's doing something wrong, here's what ends up taking place. Then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." So all of a sudden, he's kind of cast them away.
Yes. Well, and you know, what struck me too was Hebrews 10:26 that says, once you've received the knowledge of Jesus Christ, continue to sin, your sins are forgiven no more.
Yes.
That one also spun me out. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand what I was doing wrong. And I guess that Satan uses that fear, Raul, because my fear was if I'm not performing well, I might stand before Jesus and have him say, "Yeah, tough dude. You didn't do enough or something." That was the lie that I was believing that
right.
that was what it was going to take. It really takes some seeking and some fellowship to, and the best way that it's been, I've understood it, I guess, is the difference of my walk. When I, as many of the listeners, was seeking and striving and what do you want me to do, God, and am I being obedient and all that, I was in anguish about that.
Mm.
I wasn't just casually going along. I really wanted to know what that difference was, and here's what I learned. I learned that it was a difference between being in relationship with Jesus versus just knowing about what his word said. So I can know Raul, but until we hang out and we begin to exchange our thoughts and feelings with one another, we're really not in relationship. You're just a mild acquaintance. So for the longest time, Jesus was an acquaintance.
Yes.
As we've often talked here on the show, I would use him when I needed his power.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That kind of that fire extinguisher off the shelf. I got to tell you, brothers, the word does not come alive, and it did not become fulfilling to me till I got this thing about the heart.
Yes.
And not about doing the work. Now, is faith dead without works? Yes. So it's not that we're to be dormant, but it took me the longest time to understand that it wasn't about doing all I could for the church and helping out all the homeless and doing all these things unless they were done with the right motive, which was the heart of not earning my way.
Let's take another break, then we're going to come back. This will be our last break. And then let's talk about this, you know, what it takes on our part to be able to recognize if we've fallen into this trap.
Yes.
Or into this, near this slippery slope that will actually take us further away from what God had intended us. And what the Lord has said in a couple of verses here to remind us that, hey, take a look at where you're at. Here's what you might have forgotten. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
And it's all an illusion, a 21st century institution. So I'm headed down the open road unknown. And we find what we're made of. Through the open door. Is it fear you're afraid of? What are you waiting for? Love alone is worth the fight.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Duke and Raul and, we're talking about this walk with Christ and how, first off, he judges our heart, okay? And so often we try to, I think, and I'll speak for myself, okay, that sometimes I know what somebody's reason and motive for doing something. And I may very well, the Lord may give me discernment in certain areas because he put me in a position to lead, and so he gives me even more discernment, okay? But if I take advantage of that in the sense of thinking that I know when somebody's, I know your heart, I know what's going on. No, I don't know their heart, okay? I've never walked in your shoes completely, right? You can share everything you could with me about all the things that have happened in your life that you've been willing to or recall to share with me. And I'll say, all right, yeah, and I can have compassion, maybe even understanding, and maybe some empathy because I've been there also in a certain sense. But that doesn't mean that I know your heart, okay? There's only one that knows the heart of another man, and that's God himself, okay? And that's what he's wanting to let us know. The more often I think that is necessary, we talked about this earlier in Revelation 2, okay, when he was talking to the church of Ephesus. Let me get my glasses on here. It says in verse 4, he says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will not come to you and if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Okay? So what he's saying in a sense is that, hey, you are where you're at right now if things are not very good because you have forgotten your first love. Your first love that he's talking about is him. When you first came to that place of realizing that he had to be the whole reason that you were hoping that he was going to be the Savior and he's going to be your all in all and you're going to have what everyone else around you has talked about and pointing toward and saying, hey, when you get to this place, and now you're there because you realize you have no more power. You had no power, and now I really have no power, and I have no more ideas. I've got no more aces up my sleeve, so to speak. What ends up taking place at that point in time, that means that I've given it all up to the Lord. I said, Lord, I trust you completely, and I'm going to turn away from that lifestyle. Okay? It may have taken place in a church. It may have taken place in a revival. It could have taken place in a tent. It could have been with another individual, another man that you were with that took place. It could have been in any many different places. Your experience is your experience. But the Lord is telling the church of Ephesus, talking to us, you've forgotten your first love. And so you need to ask for forgiveness and repent and turn away from those things. And if we think about it, if we look at our own lives, and this is back to the self-inventory, some of the things that are necessary for us to do to stay clear of this stuff that has been taking place, to take a look at our own lives of what is it, what am I doing that isn't lining up with what Scripture tells me how to do? And if I'm having challenge with knowing that, maybe I should ask my wife, okay, if you're married. If you're not married, or even if you are, how about that buddy of yours from church who's actually maybe not your buddy yet, but you know him well enough because you see him at church and he seems like he's kind of has it,
he's showing good fruits.
Right.
Okay.
And so you just haven't asked him. You haven't gone up to talk to him. Maybe it's time you have coffee with somebody like that. Okay. Or you don't know anybody like that at church. Maybe if you went to your senior pastor and said, would you recommend anybody? This is what I'm thinking. I'm going to tell you, as a leader of men, and as you are, Duke, when men come to us like that, saying, can you help me? Can you show me the way or put men in my life that would help guide me? I mean, we desire to be able to say, yes, grab a seat. Let's talk.
Yeah.
And it goes from there. And these are the things that need to take place. But as the Lord says, as Jesus says here in Revelation through John, says to us, you've lost your first love, okay? Now, when it comes down to it, at least for me, I always use that. The producer always says, you always say that same thing. When it comes down to it, what it boils down to.
Yeah, the bottom line.
The bottom line is that I have to realize that I'm not the one in charge. No matter what, even if I know the Lord, if I've been walking with him for a while, that's where I really have to be careful. I need to get to that place of even more humility, okay, of realizing that I need him, okay? That doesn't mean that I allow other people to walk all over me. That's one of the things, the stumbling blocks I always had. If I'm humble or trying to be humble, people are going to take advantage of me.
Yes.
One of my biggest fears of letting down my guard, being open to so many things, okay?
Yes, and some do take advantage, and that's just the way that it is.
Yes.
But that piece that you're talking about, wow, it's something you got to seek, and it's a journey, because I got tripped up, and I know there are listeners that may be tripped up. That whole idea of, am I doing enough, am I being obedient, has got to turn so much to the relationship, the prayer, the love, all those things that Christ instructs us in.
Yes.
that we miss. So how does this work then sometimes for us when we're doubtful of that? That's where Satan is throwing in, you're not doing enough. You're not contributing. You're not working hard enough in the church, you're not tithing enough, all those things. Those are the lies that Satan, I think, sends out to us that we feel that we need to perform, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of when I would go to church, I'd go, well, look at them. They're this. I was aspiring to them for the wrong reasons. I did not realize they had a relationship with Jesus. Right. I just thought you needed to know and understand logically the Bible so you could process it and then make the right choices. Not knowing that some of them would be what you just mentioned earlier, ones that are choices of the heart, not ones that are logical.
You know, so often we end up thinking of things, like you said, that we believe that maybe Satan has put in our heads of that we're not doing enough, you're not, or this and that. You know, when I start thinking that I know what is going on in my head and who's doing it, that's when I really need to practice a little more humility. Maybe call a brother who actually has been down this walk longer than I have, someone who has some wisdom, some experience in here.
Amen.
And have them listen to what I'm thinking is going on with me, why I think it is. Because we can get so derailed by thinking, oh, this has got to be Satan that's telling me that I need to be doing this or that, when it may very well be from the Lord.
Yes.
And we get so confused because we, our own selves, we desire to take care of ourselves, right? That's why he says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is like it. Love others as you love yourself.
Yes.
Whoa, why would he say that? Well, because you're going to take care of yourself. And if you're not looking out for yourself, that's what he's saying. He says, if you've got something, somebody else doesn't, give it to them. I'll supply, I'll get you some more, you know. My point being, and giving God the glory for all of that, not ourselves.
Okay. Yes, yes, which is a difficult rub, really, because I can't count the number of times, and maybe you too, where you are helping someone out or you're doing something that you know is good, and the thought strikes you that, are you watching, Lord? Are you seeing how good I'm doing here? Because we do, I guess not any different than my dad. When I would do something in the yard or whatever that was an accomplishment, I'd go to Dad and say, aren't you proud of me? Hmm. And, you know, Dad was not so proud necessarily of how I mowed the lawn. He was proud that my heart was looking to please him in the act.
Yeah.
Not how it came out, just what my brain was on while I was doing it. Man, that took me, it took me forever to figure that out. Brothers, you get this piece. You get this part that it's not about doing all the right things because the scriptures tell us to. Yes, we are. Yes, we are to be moral and virtuous and follow his word and all those things. There's no doubt because that brings good to us. But doing it for the motivation of expecting nothing in return, that's the gift of Jesus Christ to us, isn't it? He's not asking us for anything except just to love him for what he's done for us. And that's no different than what we're doing.
Yes.
Amen?
Well, so often, and here's the key, and this is one of the things that I think is the vision for so many men's ministries, in a sense, is to be able to reach other men and let them know that they are not alone. And what is so important, along with this relationship with Jesus Christ, is relationship with other men, fellowship. You can't accomplish some of these things that the Lord wants you to accomplish without others. It's just not going to happen. And if you think that you're going to do it all by yourself and you're going to, you know, and you're going to be the save all, well, brother, I've been there and done that. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13, says, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That whole section right there, 13 through 16, is all about fellowship. You've got to have others. Because you know what? So often we can get distracted. We can think that I don't want to bother somebody else. That's what the enemy wants us to believe. Oh, I'm not going to call Duke. He's too busy. I'm just not going to bother him. He's got so many guys he's helping out all the time. I'm not going to call him. I'll just put it off right now for a little while longer. Maybe I'll talk to him next week, next Wednesday when I see him. Well, brother. Right now is when you need to be talking with somebody.
Yes.
And Duke might be the one you need to be talking with. You guys understand what I'm saying. But so often we don't want to let others know about who we are. And that's where I think it's so important for us to be able to say, okay, you know what? I believe in the Lord. I want to do his will. But are you willing to do what's necessary here? Are you willing to die to self and say, yes, I'm willing to go ahead and say, yes, I want to be a part of that. I want that to take place in my life. Okay. So do you really?
Well, you know, it comes back to that trust in the relationship, no different than you and I developing a relationship. There comes a time when we have developed a trust and a bond in that. That only comes because both of us were seeking one another. Now, we know that God seeks all of us to give our hearts to Him freely.
Yes.
So we know that God and Jesus is always asking. So when we're in a relationship and that becomes a two-way dialogue and not just a one-way, that's when it begins to change. That's when God's Word started to come alive mm-hmm. for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to see that it's not about those works. Yes, we're to do those things, but it's about I want to be in relationship with Jesus because it's like my best friend. I want to hang with my best friend all the time. Why? Because you listen to each other, you inspire each other, and you have fun, or there's joy there.
Yes.
Well, that's the promise of this relationship with Jesus that so many of us don't get. I'll have a relationship with my best friend. I know him better than I do Jesus, and it ain't supposed to be that way.
Yes, yes. Here's the whole key. Check the fruit. Look at the fruit of those around you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So live by the Spirit, brother. And let's stay in step with the Spirit. Would you pray for our brothers?
As Heavenly Father, I would just ask your anointing on the hearts and minds of those that listen today, that they would come to know you, not know about you, but be in relationship with you, through others and through your Holy Spirit. In your precious name, in Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Brother, there is hope, and you are definitely not alone.